God is good.
All the time.
Just a couple of announcements this morning. Most people like awards, but there's certain awards that we don't like to get, and one of those would be a fast driving award. Anybody ever got one of those? I know Pastor Dave probably has. I say that because I was reminded that Wednesday, Strongsville schools are back in session, so be careful as you're going through the school zones because the police will be out there ready to give you a fast driving award. So, and it's an expensive award. So just keep that in mind this week as Strongsville gets back into session, and then the coming weeks the rest of the schools get back into session. Maybe also include that in your devotional prayer life as the students get back to school. Wanted to turn your attention to these little red pads. They're good for filling out information on your status, whether you're attending on a regular basis or a first-time visitor. I know I met a first-time visitor just a few minutes ago. Welcome. We're glad that you're here. Like a little bit more information about you. And if you feel brave enough, we also have a visitor tag that you, the top part, you can fill out and it becomes a sticker and you can wear. Now, you don't have to wear the whole tag like I have here, but just the top part. And it'll just be a nice wave to let us know who you are so that we can come up and introduce you and welcome you to church today. Also inside, there's a prayer request. If you want to submit that later in the service, during the first hymn, the ushers will come around and collect those. Those can be for the pastors only, or for the if you want to share with the congregation, we'll lift those prayers up later in the service. We come this morning on a beautiful, beautiful summer morning. We come expectant to meet God in this place. Welcome to worship. I'd like you to join with me in a posture of prayer as we lift up the concerns that have been brought before us. Lord, we come before you with tender hearts this morning. We pray to seek to do your will in the world. Pray that you would continue to guide us and help shape us into the body of Christ who can impact our world. As we pray together, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
So, we're in the 23rd Psalm, a series, and you know these immortal words about David penning God being his shepherd, and with his shepherd he has no wants. And it moves us through some geographical phases in green pastures, by still waters, through a valley or up a valley of a shadow of death, up to a table or a plateau. And now the psalm will shift from geographical to circumstantial, and today's verse would be this. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. The word of God for the people of God. The psalmist takes us through a movement. We're like sheep who are being nudged, prodded, encouraged, loved, wooed, challenged to move up to higher ground. And now the sheep are up on a plateau, and the movement goes into the season of summer, the hot, everyday dog days of summer. Many of you know that sense of a season in life where, I don't know, is it okay to say that Christians get tired, that people get tired and fatigued and weary, and then And then life still keeps moving at the pace or even faster than what it seems like it needs to. And in the midst of our fatigue, sometimes we get more irritable and frustrated and hurt. Angie and I had this dating life, not to give you too much of it, but just this honey, sweetheart, thank you, planned a wedding, everything, where we never had an argument. And then I think it was the last day of our honeymoon, I bumped her off the bike, but sort of by accident. But she was going too slow, and I was just trying to move it along a little bit. And then it was all of a sudden like, oh my gosh, this is marriage now. You know, like, you know what I mean? I mean, how about a different metaphor? That's not a good one. How about this? How about halfway through the car payments and the new car smell wears off and there's stains in the car? You get what I mean? There's seasons of life where you feel like a runner who's in the 20th mile of a marathon, and the beginning was fun and fast and easy, and you're waving at everybody and high-fiving, and now you're just thinking, this is like work. Ever happened to you, joined a new church, excited to be here, and then all of a sudden the warts and pimples start to show? Or you get a new pastor and you think, this guy, well, hang on, let's just move on from... Have you ever had a sense of being a teacher or a student and it's the middle of May and it's almost like, it's almost time just to be done with this, but you still have to do? Have you ever been a parent and remember what it was like just a little before bedtime, like put these kids down before somebody gets murdered or the wrong thing is said? Are you with me on this? The twilight of a career, where the monotony of it could drive you wild, or maybe the twilight of life and you wonder if there's still use or purpose for you. It's the golden days of summer now, and the warble flies and the black flies and hordes of mosquitoes crowd around sheep up on the high plateau. The cool spring breezes now have given way to hot summer, and the insects are a torment to sheep. In fact, the greatest killer of sheep is not wolves and bears and obvious predators, but they're actually a thing called nasal flies, or I could give you Latin name, but in most places they call them sheep bot flies. They're a long sort of fly that, and they call them nasal flies because they like the moisture of the front of a sheep's face, and they'll actually crawl up the nose of a sheep and into the nasal passage, and it will be there that they'll actually lay larva eggs, and when they hatch, those new nasal flies can crawl even deeper into the skull or the cavity of the head of a sheep. And it moves from irritating buzzing to driving a sheep crazy. Can you feel that horrible graphic image? You're saying, please move on, please. These worm-like larvae will cause sheep to beat their head against trees or have them rub frantically against the ground in a frenzy to release them from the torment of internal flies literally in their head. They will manifest running to exhaustion. They will refuse to eat. And even mothers will abandon their maternal nature and no longer suckle their ewes. It's a horror. It's a horror and the most prevalent killer of sheep. They begin to bite each other, sheep do, who have this. It's one of the first manifestations where gentle, non-aggressive sheep will bite and hurt one another. When a good shepherd knows that it's nasal fly or bot fly season, they'll take a linseed oil mixture with sulfur, a linseed oil, and spread it across the nose of a sheep, and flies will sense that and move away from it. The flies then will stay externally, buzzing out here around a sheep, but it won't come into the sheep and harm the sheep or bring it destruction. Some of you know nasal flies, don't you? Family problems, financial difficulties, stress on a job, an extra grace required. We call them EGR people in your small group. Not this church, but you know, like a church you went to before. Somebody who could drive you crazy if they just talked. Seeing if you know what I mean. Sometimes it's an in-law. Sometimes it's a person at the mall. The other day, somebody cut me off in traffic and then gestured to me, and I thought, oh my gosh, and And when the defenses are down and when you're tired and exhausted and frayed, they become a nasal fly. They get into your head. If I could be really candid as a pastor, really, really candid, there are hundreds of you that are encouraging and wonderful and amazing. And then on a Sunday, sometimes one comment of anger or sarcasm or sometimes out of anger, like that will be the one comment you go home and remember. And I think, why am I like that? Why am I like that? Why do I let those things burrow up into me? And when I try to go to sleep at night, it's that one thing, and I think, what did they mean by it? What did they mean by that? What did they? And then once in a while, if it really gets to me, I'll pick up the phone and say, you had said X. Tell me what you meant by X. And then they say, you can't take a joke? And then I think, well, now what did they mean by that? Now what did they mean by it? Are you with me on this? Stress and pain of life, cynicism and negativity can sometimes distort our thinking and get into our head, and we lose perspective and we lose focus and we forget that God is providential and in love with us. And we lose the sense that in the end, with Christ, all will be well. Death in the end can be a nasal fly itself. Death can get into our heads. I had just this week at this funeral of a lovely Christian in our church, somebody in the family who loved the Lord said, how do people do this without Christ? And I thought in my head, well, death becomes a nasal fly to them. It does. It drives them crazy and mad, wondering about the meaning and the purpose of life itself. When a good shepherd rubs ointment on a sheep, when a good shepherd rubs and anoints a sheep's head with oil, the nasal flies just buzz and spin, and they can annoy us and bother us and hurt us, but they can't control us and get on our head and destroy us. The Holy Spirit helps us to interpret Scripture and bring it alive. The Holy Spirit brings good guilt and helps us to change our life. The Holy Spirit brings away bad guilt and shame and removes it and frees us and forgives us. The Holy Spirit encourages us and heals our past and comforts us and brings perspective to our life. When we're together sometimes and there's meaningful connection, God's Holy Spirit acts like a filter over us that connects us, that grows us, that brings us consistent to an identity in Jesus, where come what may, it might buzz, it might annoy, it might even bring pain, but it can't destroy us anymore. When I'm connected to Christ and somebody does something awful, you know what I go to in my head sometimes? Maybe they're a Royal Family Kids Camp kid all grown up that has a tremendous amount of pain in their life that simply needs to be loved and forgiven. Maybe, Dave, the world is not all about Dave. Maybe it has nothing to do with you. Maybe comments and people sometimes react out of their brokenness and they need loved and grace. Sometimes when I'm really connected and secured and anointed and covered and filtered, I know that I cause some of these reactions and my life needs adjusted and tweaked and mended and looked at. And I'm aware of my own mess and it makes me eager to forgive and to release and keep it into perspective and think we're all just on this journey on the high ground, going up to the high ground. Strongsville United Methodist Church is a really, in so many ways, a remarkable church. You are a church that doesn't sometimes just bounce off each other like hard marbles, not really knowing each other. Sometimes we're like a bag of grapes, and when we get squeezed, our lives gel together. And on the best of days, that's such a beautiful thing. And other days, you think, I think I need a break. Only because you care. Only because you know other people, and their lives matter to you. And only because sometimes you're so invested in the place that it matters to you the way things are done and how things are done, and it accentuates sometimes that we are really a different kind of people, right? I mean, not just our church in general, but just this service in particular is a different thinking, different dressing, different backgrounds, different dysfunctions, different expressing, different styling, different gifting, different drifting, just different people, aren't we? And if unless we have the filter of God's Spirit with us, well, Paul said he begged Jews and Gentiles to come together. I think there aren't so much differences in the church like that anymore, but we simmer now over left and right, conservative and traditional, evangelical and progressive, silent and responsive, classical and contemporary. And we need the Holy Spirit, do we not? To cover us, to love well, to be connected, to come to the place of knowing what really matters and what doesn't matter. And when we're covered, when we're really covered, we can love well. And it doesn't internalize and drive us crazy, the things that could drive us crazy. Let me close with this story. And then during special music, we wanted to invite you to come up to be touched or anointed or just marked with a little bit of oil as a symbol of saying that you're favored of God and that God's Holy Spirit is not only on you but covering you, so that you can just maybe once in a while close your eyes and think, you are just a nasal fly. And I don't mean people, you know what I mean? I mean the situation or the thing that bothers you or could be internalized. Story. There was a boy, I wanted to say a little boy, but he wasn't little, he was big at camp this past week from our foster system here in Cuyahoga County. And I'll call him Donnie, his name wasn't, but I want to protect him a little bit. He was quiet, broken, abused, neglected, wondering about his own little life. He wanted to keep to himself. He didn't want to be picked on or harmed. He didn't want to cause harm. He just was creative and thoughtful and reflective and beautiful is what he was. And on the very last night, we had a talent show, and this creative little non-athletic boy wanted to sing something. He had a voice like an angel. It would give you goosebumps to hear it. It really would. It really would. But he was embarrassed and afraid of being picked on, so he didn't know what to do. His counselors came up with an amazing idea. They put a blanket over him. So he walked up on stage with a microphone, like a blanket, like a little cousin it, and they sat him up on a stool, and he began to sing. And many of us who are not musical, I thought it was the CD. I didn't know it was his voice. He was so gifted. And then you could see his little body underneath the blanket start to sway and move under the rhythm of the song. And then it hit us, oh my gosh, this is him singing. And when he was finished, the whole place erupted into screaming and cheering. 32 children and 80 some adults, it seemed like, but the screaming just went on. And then he pulled the blanket off slowly and all these tears rolled down his face and ours. And it was just for a moment he knew who he was. Just for a moment, the covering of that blanket helped him to release who he really was. Just for a moment, he knew why he was born. Just for a moment, his gifts shone like the stars of the sky. And just for a moment, you could tell, he just knew what he was about. He came and sat down and was crowded by his amazing counselors, and I heard him say this, "I don't need that blanket anymore. I don't." And I wonder if maybe on a day like this, you could realize there is a blanket for you. There is a covering for you, a love for you that began the moment you were conceived, a hope for you, an identity for you, so that come what will, financial troubles, criticism, negativity, a lack of success, whatever that means in our culture, and you can say, "But because God loves me, it can stay out here and buzz around and it will not define who I am." For those of you who long for the touch of God, we welcome you after the music begins to come forward, and we'll just touch you, nothing weird or creepy, and say a word over God's blessing in your life, if only if you want to.